Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
These are my confessions.
All right. I cheated on my taxes. Just kidding.
What?
Kidding.
All right, so that came from the man who hates April Fool's Day. I don't understand that one bit.
Kidding.
In fact, you know what? Yeah. I hope the IRS honors you just for that joke.
Just because I was listening.
Just for that joke.
They should check in on you just because.
Exactly.
Did you say we have it on audio?
Yeah, I want you to have to. In fact, he cut that up for me. I'm sending that to somebody. I don't know who I'm sending to, but I'm going to make sure that you get that.
Here's the confession, because I came across this morning because we did file today. We put it off. I know you guys filed a little early.
That money is spent. That return.
It's already spent?
It is spent, brother.
Biggie?
It's gone.
It's gone. But I came across this morning, and it just blew me away. You know, everybody else maybe, let's say, fudges or gets creative, I'll put it that way, in terms of some deductions.
Don't say everybody. I stick to the rules, IRS.
Remember you said that.
Mm-hmm.
When I said everybody. Because I just came across this morning. Every year, according to the IRS, the difference between taxes paid and taxes owed is estimated to be $600 billion.
That's nice, but I'm built different.
$600 billion.
That's crazy.
People fudge, let's say.
Oh, is that on fudge or is that?
On fudge.
Or is that just people
not? In terms of returns, they estimate, the difference between what people pay and what they owe is $600 billion. A year.
And what's funny is I know
academically
that, you know, they don't really have the heft to be able to go out here and audit everybody. Yeah. But I don't need them to audit everybody. All I need would be them to audit me, and that'd be enough to ruin my day. So I'm very much...
I've never been audited all these years.
We'll change that soon. Don't worry about that. I'm very much trying to be a rule follower, because the last thing I need... anybody comes talking to me, I got the paperwork, brother. It's all paid.
Yeah, I go through one of those. I forget which one it is, because my wife does them. One of those automated, things. It makes it a lot easier.
Like Jackson Hewitt or something?
One of those, yeah.
Of all the
TurboTax?
I ain't heard of Jackson Hewitt in a minute. I'm being honest.
I think it is TurboTax.
TurboTax, yeah. I think that's TurboTax. What I was thinking about.
Yeah.
These are my confessions. So earlier today, I don't even know how Payne and Pendergast got on. It's because Albert Breer in his dispatch was talking about Patrick Peterson, who this weekend retired as a Cardinal, and was highlighting how the 2011 draft class has a ton of dudes that are like Hall of Fame worthy, or deserving of consideration. And so they were kind of, Sean and Seth, both kind of bouncing around the guys in that class and talking about, which ones would go in the Hall of Fame and everything. And in talking about that, I think the one that really got me was, he mentioned Tyron Smith, and I was like, they didn't think he would go in. And I was like, I think he'd go in. He's, obviously only a 2-time All-Pro, 8-time Pro Bowl, if memory serves me, but he was on an All-Decades team. And I was like, All-Decades team, you go into the Pro Bowl or into the Hall of Fame. And I think Sean made a good point, is that since they changed the way that they vote on mm-hmm. Hall of Fame, right? They've narrowed the pool, and obviously yeah. you need 80% in order to go in. Maybe that makes it a little bit more difficult. And it remains to be seen what mm-hmm. that ultimately, you know, the trickle down of that and how that yeah. affects. But it just got me thinking, when it comes to Hall of Fames, my confession is, I'm a permissible Hall of Famer. Like mm-hmm. I am on the more permissible side. I actually like the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Like I like that there's more people than, you know, yeah. more people getting in. I'm very much of the mindset. And again, I came to sports earliest because of basketball. So, I mean, I love football, mm-hmm. love baseball, like all these things. And I respect the way that their Hall of Fames do it.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. But I do kind of like the idea of, if they were great, let's celebrate them.
No, I agree. And I think I mentioned this to you and Sean before the show. At its core, you know, by definition, any Hall of Fame is a museum. It's a museum. So it doesn't have to be about like just the top 1% of 1%, you know, and all that. It's like celebrate people that really affected things and had successful careers because you want to see that. It's part of, you know, telling part of the history. So, yeah, it's a museum. So put stuff in the museum.
That said, I acknowledge that it's a lot easier to do that in basketball where yeah. there's like it's a smaller pool of people. So I imagine you get permissible in the NFL and you got a whole bunch of dudes that we're talking about in this circumstance. But yeah, I recognize yeah. like, oh, I am. I don't want to use the word elitist or less elitist mm-hmm. or what have you, because I don't think that that's the right way of viewing this. But yeah. I think that, yeah, I'm just a lot more permissible than I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people are like actually making more exclusionary, and that mm-hmm. that increases the honor. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that portion.
I do agree.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
These are my confessions. So I watched the WNBA draft last night, or some of it.
Okay,
I watched some of it, and just to kind of see who's getting drafted mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And it's a young lady by the name of Dominique Malonga,
yes.
who the Seattle, I'm blanking on
Storm.
Them. Storm, mm-hmm. yes. I almost said the Sounders, but
said the Sonics. So we are in the same place, brother.
So they drafted her with the second overall pick, and mm-hmm. she's 6'6" from France.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they was comparing her. They were saying she was the female Wimby.
Okay.
And so I'm like, wow. Oh, I'm like, okay. Let me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me get out of this WNBA draft, and let me go to YouTube, and let me see what this girl looking like.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta confess, man, I think that's a little bit disrespectful.
That is to Wimby. Mm-hmm. What the youths will call cap. Yeah, yeah, man. I was just talking about this.
I'm like,
with the
man,
group of friends
she
earlier.
Looks nothing. The only thing they got in common is they both from France.
Yeah. And tall.
And tall.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now yeah. she got post moves. Like, and not to say that Wimby don't have post moves, but Wimby got guard moves. That's one yeah. of the reasons that makes this crazy.
If, mm-hmm. Yeah. If this was really the female Wimby, she would have went first.
Yes, that too.
She yeah. went second, man. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed. I'm like, man, that's the only comparison y'all got. And I ain't sitting there saying she's sorry or nothing like that.
She's not. Mm-hmm.
No, nah, she looked like she can play.
Yeah.
But the female Wimby? No, nah, I
well,
was.
That stuff's
I was
already happening. Huh?
Yeah, I was started. Expecting her to look like Chris Paul out there,
yeah.
a tall ass Chris Paul yeah. handling the ball and yeah. all that. I ain't see that in them highlights.
Without
man.
The nut punching, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. She can dunk. She can dunk.
But
she can.
I hope.
But yeah, nah. I thought that was crazy that they said the female Wimby.
And this is the reason why I really dislike comps. And I mm-hmm. like the tough part about it is comparison is how we learn, right? Mm-hmm. How do you learn? What is the color red? All right, so red yeah. is like an apple. Red is like yeah, a fire yeah. truck, right? That's how we learn things. Except the problem is, like, you got to do it very particularly with comps because it either sets unfair standards or it ends up being really wide in a way that you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I want to talk about this very specific thing that this reminds me of in this other player.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you do that in a very particular way, you go, yeah, that person is basically this other player. And now you go, oh, so they're going to have all of these things. It's like, no, not quite.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, I've never even heard of her until that moment.
Yeah.
So I'm it's one thing if she was really the Wimby, we would know, she would come across the timeline, man.
Yeah, at some point.
She have not came across my timeline, man. So I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, let me see this. And I watched her game. I was just like, she cool. She good.
Yeah.
Nah, she ain't no Wimby, man. That's a bad comparison.
Think about comps, though. It's like they have to smack you in the face. Like when someone says, who does he remind you of or she remind you of? And you have to start thinking, then it's probably not going to be a good comp. But like, it's like, that looks exactly like so-and-so, then yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
These are my confessions. So Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are getting their numbers retired.
By Colorado.
Give it up for them. Yeah.
No, don't give it up for them. Please don't give it up. Okay, two-part confession here. My first confession is, are you kidding me? I don't know if that's a confession or not.
I don't know if it is, but I'll allow it.
They had a 13-12 record. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
My real confession is, this is Deion Sanders doing this, right? 100%, 100%.
Get out of town.
I don't actually know that second part is the case.
100%.
I could easily see, look, I could see the school doing this because the school basically laid them whole selves down in order to be like, yo, please, Deion, come here and make this your ground. Like, Colorado has a good amount of history when it comes to college football.
Yes.
But not recent history.
That are not numbers retired.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But not a lot of recent history. And you got to acknowledge, like, opening up the doors, be like, yes, Deion, come and do all of your experiment. They basically took the University of Colorado and tried to make it a pseudo HBCU. Mm-hmm. Like, Colorado was just like, we do not care. Come in and do whatever the hell that you want. We just want to be relevant. And in doing that, they became relevant. And so this does feel like some level of acknowledgement of, yo, the people that came through and made this relevant, shout out to y'all. We appreciate y'all. Do I think it's misguided? Absolutely.
But I disagree. What they did is maybe what you're talking about, but they also said, hey, Deion, whatever you want, we'll give you. Well, I want their numbers retired. Got it. Done. It's Deion. It's Deion retiring their numbers. We'll give you whatever you want, Deion. New contract, done. You know, this and that, done. You know, you want all these things at the games, done. You want their numbers retired, done. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm not willing to lay that at the feet of Deion in particular. I feel like that's the school is there to like maintain and like support the history of the organization or what have you, and they haven't done that. And the one that is egregious is obviously Shedeur Sanders.
Yes,
like yeah, Travis Hunter did win a Heisman, right? Like I understand that that's not necessarily the precedent that the organization has set because that's not the first Heisman they've had, and those previous Heisman did not necessarily go in immediately. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to retiring their numbers in this way, where they're retiring their number immediately after they leave, it's the Shedeur one that makes you look up and go, okay, so I understand what this is.
It's the Shedeur
I know
one
who
that
you are.
It's the Shedeur one that convinces me it was Deion.
Right. But I do wonder if they were just got to a point they were like, we would like to retire Travis's number. But what does it look like if we don't also put Shedeur in there? Like, I do wonder how much of this is just like the politics of human beings, not even just
participation.
Travis Hunter, absolutely, you can make the argument that his number deserves to be retired. And then you go, can we do that alone? Can we do it by itself?
Yes, you can.
And yeah, that's the reasonable answer.
Yeah, yeah.
But the unreasonable answer is like, all right, but we doing this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should, you know, put Shedeur in there.
It should have been a sign for the simple fact that Travis Hunter is getting probably drafted number two overall.
Yeah.
And we have no idea where Shedeur is going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that sets it apart alone.
That's not what we retire numbers based on, especially in the college landscape.
No, I get it. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't retire Shedeur's number because Travis Hunter, we about to retire his number, and I want to be fair. Nah, man, you ain't in the same class. I mean, y'all played on the same team at the same damn time, but y'all ain't in the same class.
Yeah, I saw this and I was like, all right.
I was like, oh Lord.
How far Colorado has fallen to some degree, and I got to be careful saying that because, like, obviously, as a program, This decision they've made has been largely good for them, right? They went from having, I think they had been cycling through coaches like nothing in previous years.
And they were bad.
And they are finding some level of stability. We'll see how far that continues as Deion has to like do more recruiting and such.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel like they've you know altered their course in some ways. But they have really just like, hey man, we are giving you the program. They have really just given this
that's
thing
my
over
point. Yes.
In a whole way.
How would y'all feel if Jackson State retired Shedeur Sanders' number? Like, would that make more sense if let's say Shedeur stayed there and he went
it
on?
Probably would.
Yeah, to me, that would make a little more sense because mm-hmm. it's like, all right, like once you got here, we turned up a little bit and mm-hmm. all eyes was on us. So yeah. we kind of appreciate you. But that Colorado, man, this has some history. There ain't no chump school.
I mean, Jackson State has some history, too. This is the thing that I guess is kind of funny because it counters in some ways what I had about the Hall of Fame. But I'm like, we only got so many numbers, dog.
Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion. We retiring numbers.
We only got so many of these. I feel like we're not giving them back out again. And mm-hmm. we should do it in a very particular way. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But there you go. Those are our Lunchtime Confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. All right, coming up next. A little bit of news that happened this week. Raiders star defensive end Max Crosby made history as became the assistant general manager of his college team. And he's doing this while still playing and hoping to kind of, in some ways, grease the wheels of getting more talented players to his program. Who would you want in a similar role for the University of Houston or your favorite college team? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.